Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Leviticus chapter 21 for our second reading. Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, There shall none be defiled for the dead among his people, but for his kin that is near unto him, that is, for his mother and for his father, and for his son and for his daughter, and for his brother, and for his sister a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath no husband, for her may he be defiled. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy unto the Lord their God, or unto their God, and not profane the name of their God, for the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. Thou shalt sanctify him, therefore, for he offereth the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father, she shall be burnt with fire. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes, neither shall he go in to any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother, neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow, or a divorced woman, or profane, or an harlot. These shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, the Lord, do sanctify him. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whomsoever, or whosoever, he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy only. He shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not by sanctuaries. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron, and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, this chapter is about the priests of God and in their relations. Now, let's just understand that all of the standards that are here proclaimed with regard to the relations of the priest are all given on account of the priest and his office. Because he is the high priest who draws near to God, not only shall he himself be holy, but all of his associations shall be holy as well. It is very interesting, isn't it, that the Lord would create this greater standard for the priests, and yet remember that they proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ in their office and His perfection. And the Old Testament worshiper was not looking upon a high priest per se, but looking upon Messiah that should come. Remember that the faithful Old Testament priest, at least from the days of David forward, if not before, understood that Messiah was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so he looked for a Messiah that was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separated from sinners. And that particular quality, or those particular qualities, were intended to be typified by the high priest, thus the great high standard. Let us also understand that just like in our day, to despise Jesus Christ, to put Him to open shame, is tantamount to what? Soul death. Can we come that far together? Soul death. To despise Jesus Christ is to partake of soul death. To despise the high priest of old also was near to partaking of the same thing. And so this high standard that surrounded not only the high priest, not only his appearance and physical constitution, but his wife and his daughter and so on. All of those things. If he took a wife to himself or had a daughter that caused someone to profane the high priesthood, they stood in danger of soul death. And that is indeed a very difficult place to stand. So, the high priesthood itself then was an office that not only was to be occupied by a man that was honorable, but he and his family were to give nothing that might cause offense regarding that office. So important was it. So then we have the regulations pertaining to that he was not allowed to profane himself or any dead body. Now, you remember the laws of separation, that you could go and take, although you were not, that you were supposed to stay away from death, or that death brought about an unclean estate that must be satisfied for or watched for, that you could defile yourselves for the death of a family member. I want you to understand, however, that with regard to the high priest, this regulated where he went and what he did. Because he was only allowed to defile himself for certain individuals out of those tender familial ties. So his father or his mother, his sister that had not married that lived in his household, and so on. Those types of family relations he could defile himself for. But what would happen? Now think with me for a moment. As a high priest, he's going out to visit among his people. He's going to visit one of the families in the congregation. He walks in, and lo and behold, grandma has just passed away in the corner. Now he is the high priest of God and defiled. You see, this regulated where he went. This regulated what he did. Because in all of his connections, wherever he went, do you remember when Aaron was anointed? There was blood that was put on his right thumb, on his right ear, and on his right foot, so that all the work of his hands, everything that came into his hearing, and everywhere his foot took him was to be holy unto the Lord, sanctified, because the anointing oil of his God was upon him. In that he was to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. So let's not draw back in horror. The daughter of a priest, if she played the harlot, was to be burnt. How tragic. How much more tragic that disrespect was brought upon the office of high priest that was supposed to exemplify Jesus Christ to the people. And how much soul danger that brought to the people of God. That's what ought to horrify us. Yes, it would be a tragic thing, but not nearly as tragic as thousands in Israel coming to a soul death because they begun to despise the priesthood. So let us be careful before we charge God with harshness. The Lord has a particular purpose here. So it has to do with the holiness of the office. Now notice there was a point at which where he could defile himself for his father and mother, and then there was a point at which he could not defile himself for his father and mother. Did you catch that tension in the passage as we read through? Well, the tension is resolved as long as we understand that there was a time during the high priest's life when he was set apart for his ministrations for that week, where the anointing oil, the crown of oil, was upon him. And so while he was partaking of those duties for that week, he didn't even go home to his own house. He stayed in the temple compound that whole week, and he could not defile himself at that point for his mother or father. If his mother or father had died at any one of those points, and he was an only son, he would have to wait until he was done to take care of their bodies if he could not get anyone else to do that for him. Again, the Lord is pressing to our understanding how exacting He is with regard to the holiness of the great high priest, Jesus Christ Himself. That is a concept that is often lost upon us. Okay, so in the final section of the passage, that's verse 16 and following, we have those descriptions of the high priest and various physical anomalies that rise up in the course of a people. But notice that as a type of Christ, then the priests were not allowed to have these. And if they were born into a family where they might have entertained the opportunity of being the high priest someday, that if they were in any way malformed in these ways, that they could not. We might say that's not fair. Well, then our argument is with God and not with the pastor or the elders or any church official. The Lord had a particular course He was pursuing, and He is indeed the one who gets to pursue those courses, isn't He? So no blemish. Remember the bride and the Shunammite in Song of Solomon describing her bridegroom and how he is altogether lovely. So no blemish. He cannot be blind. Well, Christ's eyes are as a flame of fire, aren't they? Piercing through soul and spirit, marrow and bone. He cannot be lame. But in Song of Solomon, the bridegroom's legs were as marble, as towers of marble, a picture of strength. And our Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, that great and mighty one, a flat nose. He must not be defaced. A broken foot. Well, then how could he have those feet of brass stamping out his enemies? Revelation 1:15. He could not be broken-handed. Well, then how could he represent Christ who takes hold of heaven and earth, God and man? How could he receive the title deed of the earth, walk up and take the decree from God Himself sitting on the throne in Revelation chapter 5, and take that scroll and break the seals thereof if he is broken-handed? Crooked of back, how then might he sit and judge with the dignity of the Son of God, Revelation chapter 20? He could not be a dwarf. That is, how could then he reach the heights of the altar in purging the people of God? A cataract or a blemish in his eye, scurvy or scabbed, hath his stones broken, how could he give life to his people? But he offers the pure bread of God, this high priest. And so, being the one who draws near to God, must represent, to the best these human frames are able to do so, must represent that moral, spiritual perfection of Jesus Christ. This is one of those passages that in types and shadows teach us so much about Christ Himself. Thus ends the reading of Leviticus chapter 21. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.